I want to speak to you this evening on the theme of the church. Quite connected to what we were looking at this morning from Nehemiah chapter 6. And by church, of course, we mean that the church is not a building. It's not an institution that is made by people, but something that God has done, is doing. An institution of people called together, gathered out by God from the world. People who belong to God now. And God helping us, I want us to focus on verses 21 and 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. Let me remind you, let me read from verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And for those of you not with us this morning, we were looking at the literal rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah, and how God was making something for his glory through their work and through their words. Well, here is the New Testament equivalent, really. God here wants us to know about a spiritual building that he is also at work on putting together. Living stones, not bricks, but people. And there is much to learn from this imagery. The scriptures are full of different kinds of imagery to describe the relationship of our God and Saviour to those who are their people. And it's good for us, again, to remember who we are and to learn from this. And the first thing, of course, is that we need to remember what it is that lies at the foundation of this spiritual building that we belong to. This holy temple that God is building for his glory and our blessing. According to the word of God, particularly the apostles and prophets, gospel and doctrine, they're the foundation, yes, but the chief cornerstone and most vital foundation, what is it? Well, it is Jesus Christ himself. The building is being fitted together, growing into him. In whom, notice that so many times, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in or through the Spirit. There is but one head to the body, if we want to use that metaphor. There is but one shepherd of the flock, if we want to choose that one. It is but one king of heaven's citizens. And there is but one foundation, there is but one cornerstone, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to consider together then something of the glory of this spiritual building. Four aspects of it as it stands in union to Christ. Everything flows from him. He is his head, his glory, his captain, saviour and Lord. Now if you're not a Christian this evening, if you're not somebody who has already trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, or maybe you're unsure, you're uncertain of whether you belong to him or not, then hopefully this sermon will help show you the great glory of the Church of Jesus Christ. Something of the glory of Jesus and what it means to belong to him. But more than that, I hope that you will come to see your need of him for yourself. Well, the four aspects of these, very simply from these verses, the church is one, the church is holy, the church is growing, and the church is the dwelling place of God. All to be seen in these two verses. Well, first of all, then, the church is one. O-N-E, not W-O-N, of course. One. There is but one church of Jesus Christ. One united church by virtue of its union with Jesus Christ. Well, where does the Apostle Paul say that? Well, he speaks only of one building in this imagery that he describes here. The church as a building. Verse 20 suggests one building built on one foundation, having one chief cornerstone. Verse 21 is even clearer. The whole building, singular, speaks of a holy temple in the Lord, singular. Verse 22, built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And it's interesting, you see, looking at the context, what has gone before it. Well, his point has been from verse 11 through to verse 22 that believers who are Jews and believers who have come from a non-Jewish background are together now because of what Jesus has amazingly accomplished for them both. One new man has been created from the two. Peace between God and man and man, has been established. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit through the Father. And the whole point here is of unity in Christ between believers of different, very different racial backgrounds and spiritual heritage. In the context following, we read in chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Speaks of one family with one heavenly Father. Chapter 4 and verse 4 to 6, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Emphasizes the whole point of unity in the Lord. What is Paul teaching? There is only one church of Jesus Christ. The church is one. Let me take you to two other scriptures. One of Christ's own sayings in John chapter 10 and verse 14. Here we have it in Christ's own words. Chapter 10 of John, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jew and Gentile, Jew and non-Jew, all over the world, people gathered together into that one flock under one shepherd. This is a key theme of the Apostle Paul's. Of course, he would write to the Galatians and something very similar. The church is one. And immediately this raises many questions about the church. Well, clearly it's not a building, but a people. It's not a people gathered in one place, but gathering all over the world. It's not a people gathering in one time, but a people gathering throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia, from the beginning of the world and those yet to be born. It's not a people communicating in one language, but in many languages. Not a people of one race, but would eventually be made up of people of all the tribes and all the peoples of the earth. Not a people in one denomination, but gathered out of many denominations, many groupings, and yet still the church is one in Christ. Now this is an awesome teaching of Scripture that I think we may be tending to be over familiar with it. But you see, when Paul wrote and taught this, you are all one in Christ Jesus, that was a shocking revelation to the people of his day. Something we've become familiar with. There is one global, universal church. But boy, what a shock that was to them in the first century AD. Remember how the Jerusalem Christian leaders reacted when the news came that non-Jews had come to faith in the Lord Jesus, had known the baptism of the Spirit. We read about this in Acts chapter 11. And first of all, they were dumbstruck. They didn't know what to say. They were silent. And then they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life." Imagine that. Well, what a lovely, lovely shock and surprise that was for them. It shouldn't have been that much of a surprise, of course.